you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Martin. So we know the reversion to phase two over the past couple of weeks has been tough on retailers. Footfall in local shopping centers has unsurprisingly fallen sharply. Think about the number of times you headed out to a mall. We also have reports that retail sales are suffering. But the landlords, the real estate investment trusts that own and manage the malls, have been doing apparently quite well. S-REITs have outperformed the SDI over the past month, benefiting from institutional inflows to the tune of $44 million. It's been 4 weeks now since we could all head out, go to our gyms. From today, though, you can welcome five people home in a day instead of just two. And companies that offer services where people must remove their masks in order to partake of these services, saunas, facials, they can resume business. But work from home is going to remain the default option for most people. And it will still be another week until we can enjoy the pleasure of dining out with family and friends. So people are, you know, having to think twice about their Father's Day plans, right, ahead of this happening. So today, we're going to take a look at how REITs have performed over the past month or so, and whether positive expectations for reopening optimism is likely to support the performance of S-REITs moving forward. Joining me is Kenny Low, a REIT specialist and independent financial advisor. Good morning, Kenny. So the news seems to indicate that S-REITs have been doing well. How do you think S-REITs have done over the past month or so?
Yeah, good morning, Michelle. It's pretty surprisingly that the big institutional fund coming in, but based on the past month performance, basically, in general, the REIT is pretty muted. If you look at the REIT index itself, They are basically trading within a range, moving nowhere. Last month, the best performing REIT, basically, they are coming from the small cap REIT, surprisingly. I think a small cap REIT currently is playing cash out with an improving economic condition because they are basically normally laggard in the run-up. So those small cap like ARA, Hospitality Trust, EC World, ARA logos, they go up by between 7 to 13%. But if you look at all those big caps, they are basically just moving sideways.
Okay.
Right. Maybe it's a good news that big institutions coming in for the accumulation prepared to the next leg up. Okay, I would like to look at another way.
So S-REITs have been on an acquisition spree this year, right? There have been some 15 major purchases announced since January at a cost of more than $5 billion. And many of these have been in the industrial and logistics sectors. So Mapletree Industrial Trust buying those data centers in the US. Ascendas also doing the same, but in the UK and Europe for their data centers. And Frasers has been purchasing industrial properties in Germany, the Netherlands and the UK. So when you look at the acquisition spree, what comes to mind for you?
There are a few things. First of all, this is the best time to go for acquisition based on two factors. One is a low cost of capital because everybody knows that we are in the ultra-low interest environment. That's one thing. And the other thing is because of the COVID-19, there are a lot of properties. They are currently undervalued based on a discounted cash flow model. And no one is really projecting very high valuation. And most of the valuation actually discounted. So all in all, if you look at cheap money plus cheap property, why not? This is the best time to do the accumulation and also for future growth. That's why this is what I'm seeing that the REIT manager currently actively doing now.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Coming back to the home situation, so from today, we're going to see rules easing up the COVID-19 restrictions, right? The cap on social group sizes going to 5 from 2, so more people will be in our homes. Some businesses looking forward to welcoming more families for the rest of the June school holidays. This is the first step, reopening today. We're going to see operating capacity limits for attractions, museums, public libraries. They're going to go up from 25% to 50%. Kenny, when you look at Singapore's strategy after June 13, how we are reopening, what effect do you think this is likely to have on S-REITs?
Well, I think the Singapore government is pretty cautious. If you look at the whole reopening for this week, there's no impact. As long as you are not able to have food outside, basically, I don't think people really go out to really in group in a mass capacity. So I personally think this is the right approach to relax the measure gradually and also in a cautious manner to prevent a certain spike in the cases again. Because this time round, the COVID-19 Delta variant is easily transmitted and is also affecting the wider people, like the children. We also do not know whether the virus continue to mutate and also create another variant. So it is better to prevent this kind of stop-start scenario from happening because this will have a big negative impact to the business. It is better to play it safe than sorry.
Indeed.
Right? In addition, slowly opening out also buy us some time so that to have more people to have a wider vaccination for the wider population. In order to reach the herd immunity so that we can open up much more faster and we can take out our mask next time.
Yes.
So all in all, it's good. It's good. Take it slow. It's good.
Taking it slow is good. What do you think, you know, working from home is still going to be the default. So, you know, do you think this is going to have a negligible effect on office space? Because it's been bad news for that sector for a while.
Yeah, it is quite common. I think that there will be a hybrid model moving forward. For those listeners who really work from home, I believe that most of you agree that it's quite sick of staying at home. You just cannot take it.
Really?
Right? So moving forward, probably there will be a hybrid model. All of us want to have a hybrid model to be flexible. But if you look at the bigger picture and also a mega trend happening in Singapore now, I don't think that office space will be affected too much. Although we are seeing that also all those financial institutions, banks, they are reducing on the office space. But on another hand, we have another growth area from the family offices, the asset management, and also all the tech companies coming into the Singapore, right? Mm-hmm. And all these family offices, tech companies, they are cash rich. They are rich. And I think that they will look for those good, grade A offices to set up base here. So I think that there will be reshuffling on the tenant base. Overall, I think that it will not be impacted too much.
Okay, year on year, we saw 5 REITs of the 14 S-REITs here seeing a year-on-year increase in terms of DPU. Before I get into those 5 REITs, what is your overview of some of the best and the worst performing REITs so far, in your opinion?
Bottom line is more on a DPU payout. That's the bottom line. As long as the REIT is able to sustain and also can continue to grow the DPU year over year, they will continue to do well. But also one of the worrying signs is I'm also seeing that some of the REITs, a few of them, their net asset value has been declining. Those are not really a good news in terms of the valuation. Although the price can sustain, but over the long term, there's always a price to book ratio in the trading market. So those things are we need to pay attention to. Those probably moving forward declining. Moving forward, you'll be probably the worst performing REIT moving forward.
So which NAVs are doing not so great? Are declining?
Probably I don't want to name those three.
Okay, must be pretty serious. In terms of the REITs that have done well, SPH REIT, Mapletree Commercial Trust, ARA Logistics, Logos Logistics Trust, Fraser Centrepoint Trust, Keppel DC REIT, those are the five S REITs that saw the highest year-on-year DPU agreements. Now, let me ask you a general question then, since you don't want to name the worst-performing REITs, in your opinion, moving forward. If you were to put your money into REITs for the second half of this year, Kenny, which portion is likely to do better, office and retail or industrial and logistics? Or would you put your funds in a totally different area altogether?
Yeah, personally, for my portfolio, I allocate into two buckets. One of the bucket is sustainability or DPU payout because I also need to rely on the stable dividend for my money expenses.
Uh-huh.
Those sectors, I will look at those rates which used to pay very good dividend, and also you don't have to quite resilient during this COVID period. Name, for example, Keppel DC, Parkway, and also the industrial REIT. Then those are pretty stable. But if you want to have some surprises in terms of increase in dividend, at the same time, in terms of a capital appreciation, the sector I am also allocating would be the retail and also the hospitality sector. Because if there is any surprises or increase in dividend, eventually the price will start to follow going up.
Interesting. All right, another piece of REIT news that caught my eye, CDL's proposed IPO. So City Developments Limited confirming it's applied for an IPO of a real estate investment trust with commercial assets located in Britain, and this to be listed on Singapore Exchange's main board. So CDL didn't provide a deal value. Bloomberg reporting the IPO could raise some 500 million British pounds. It also said the REIT aims to list in the third quarter of this year. So the proposed CDL IPO of its UK REIT. What are your thoughts, Kenny, on what investors should ask themselves before committing to the first REIT IPO that would be listed on the SGX this year?
Yeah, UK is a favorite place for many investors, right, due to their so-called high yield. I have a few investors, basically, they are investing in the physical property in UK because the yield is much more higher than Singapore. It's easily more than 10%.
Wow.
But the downside is because they find that it's pretty tedious to really manage the lowest property in UK. That's one of my investors. He really flew to UK every year before the COVID just to manage his UK property.
Wow.
Okay, it's pretty tedious. And also, investing in overseas property, or especially UK, is also subjected to the inheritance tax. It will be very tedious if something happened to ourselves, to the investor itself. So when CDL start to offer this option, maybe CDL commercial REIT, the name, I do not know, I just guess, right? It provides another proxy to the property investor who love UK property on top of another REIT, which is an elite commercial REIT in Singapore. So the investor should pay attention to the location of the portfolio itself, and what kind of portfolio they are putting into this CDL REIT, because we know that work from home and also some of the disruption may disrupt some of the office space in other countries. It may not be so much in Singapore, maybe other countries will be affected.
Mm.
So it's very important that to make sure the building is maybe able to make changes to accommodate all the future disruption moving forward. And also those property injected in the property, the portfolio itself has to show a good historical stable rental income year over year. Okay, this is to make sure that the sponsor itself don't pump in some of the bad property into the portfolio. So of course, all in all, the valuation and also you is important. They need to be comparable to the elite commercial REIT or maybe better than it in order to get the investor interest.
There's been talk of Qatar Investment Authority possibly injecting HSBC Holdings London headquarters building into this property trust. Would that be a decisive factor that investors should sit up and take notice of?
There are just a few big tenants, but all in all, we still need to look at what are the business the tenants they are in and what would be the lease expiry profile. If the lease expiry profile long enough, then short-term-wise, I don't think there will be much issue. But if they are, the occupancy rate is low and the sponsor doing some income support, those are the warning signs.
So Elite Commercial REIT's first-time share sale raised some £135.4 million last year. This IPO would be denominated in sterling. Do you think it's likely to be taken up with interest?
Yeah, I think most likely it will be in sterling also because of the low interest rate environment in Europe. Because if you look at interest arbitrage, right, maybe you are borrowing a sterling at, I don't know how much, maybe 1%. Mm-hmm. If you are able to generate 7% yield, you can see there's a 6% spread.
Mm.
Yeah, this commonly happened to those European REIT. I have already seen it on Ivy Global and also the Cromwell. The spread is huge.
All right. Well, thanks for the insights and what we should be looking out for, Kenny. He's Kenny Low, REIT specialist and independent financial advisor. Have a great Monday, Kenny.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.